Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Then Navy vet Ruth Ann Hunter will discuss her time in service. Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will present the movie of the month. And we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So, former Lieutenant Colonel Space Force Matt Lohmeyer. Matt, I'm glad to have you back on the show. You were a squadron commander in the Space Force when you were basically forced out for resisting Marxism. That's the Gillum abbreviated version of it. Welcome to the show.
Denny, I'm happy to be back with you, and I'm happy to hear you put it that way. In fact, the Gillum version is the truest and simplest way to put it.
Well, you know, in my church, I'm sometimes said I have a ministry of blunt. So give us a quick review of your time in uniform, particularly your time in the Space Force.
Very briefly, before I was in the Space Force, I was a T-38 instructor pilot. In fact, I'm back in my native, so to speak, Oklahoma, where I did pilot training, was an instructor pilot in the T-38 at the moment while we're doing this interview. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. I flew F-15s, and after flying, I went into what was then Air Force Space Command. And then that became later the Space Force, by and large. And I was in command of the nation's space-based missile warning efforts at the time that I decided it was important enough to take a stand against what we've now come to call this woke revolution, which is a kind of religious fervor, frankly. A religious revolution is probably the best way to look at it, an anti-God religious revolution. And I wrote a book about critical race theory and its Marxist ideological roots. And that book and talking about that book publicly got me in trouble. I was fired from my command and separated from the Space Force in the fall of 2021. So that's the briefest rundown of my career, some of the negative highlights, but also, interestingly, the positive highlights of my career. And what was a 15 and a half year career.
Well, and as you and I both know, well, once you get serving our nation in your blood, it's hard to get it out, particularly if you don't want to get it out. And I know that you're continuing to serve.
Yes.
But one of the things that I really appreciate about you, I don't know if we've had this conversation before or not, but my mother's a German Jew. So therefore, the Holocaust and that sort of thing is an important part to me. And all the Nazis who murdered Jews when they were tried said, well, I'm just obeying orders. We didn't accept that. You're supposed to have values too. And they were punished for their murder. You were put in that situation, not murder, but basically murdering the values of America. And you didn't stand up for it. You didn't tolerate it. You didn't just obey orders. I'm sure you tried to find a way to do it reasonably, but when it wasn't reasonable, when it couldn't do it, you wouldn't take the next step. And that got you in trouble.
Right.
And that's sort of what began our friendship, right?
It is. In fact, you pointed out, it is important for men and women in uniform to obey orders. And don't get me wrong, they must obey orders for there to be good order and discipline. But as you're aware, there are legal outs to orders that are illegal, unethical, or immoral. And if troops, for some reason, the directives that are coming down the pike seem to strike at the very core of their values or their conscience, then there might be a reason for that that's worth looking into. And anymore, now we've got great men and women in uniform, but anymore, so many of them are sadly in a position where they feel like the talking points of their senior military leaders seem to strike an uncomfortable nerve within them that tells them something's not quite right. And why are my values being trampled? Why is my patriotism being attacked? And that's not the kind of work environment that we want in our military. We want them to follow orders because the orders are just and good and believable and worthy and are necessary for a mission, quite frankly, and not wholly unrelated to the mission.
Yes, sir. And I guess the capital example was, abandon everybody and everything in Afghanistan. Yes, sir. I'm just obeying orders.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Matt, You haven't just sat on your hands since you got out. Talk right. about what you're doing now.
My primary effort at the moment, which the public doesn't yet see or know about, but I've been working on for some time now, is a full-length documentary film. We've got the most talented team working on this, who read my book and then read it again and said, hey, we'd like to make a film about your career and about the book. And so on the one hand, this documentary film, it'll be a 90-minute length film that'll come out in the beginning of 2024. Right at the beginning, frankly, of the presidential election season, which isn't why we're doing it, but the timeline works out quite nicely. It will both expose some of the difficulties we're facing in the military on the one hand and tell a story that is going to tug at people's heartstrings at the same time, but also hopefully be the best recruiting tool that our DOD has seen in the past quarter century, because we're really doing a good job, frankly, discouraging people from wanting to serve their country anymore these days, from our woke recruiting videos to negative headlines about some of the misplaced policy and priorities that our senior military leaders have. We need people to both be aware of the problems so that we can fix them and believe in the men and women in uniform and want to serve our great country. And I think this documentary, which is a huge effort and has tremendous support from all of the right people at the moment, it's going to be big. Everyone in the country will hear about it who's paying any attention whatsoever. That's my primary effort. And in addition to that, I'm going around speaking to troops. And so if there are troops listening to this, you've got a contingent of people near your base or at your base that want to hear me come speak. I've got some supporters who are putting me in touch with troops and allowing me to pay for my own travel to get out there and interact with troops around the country. So I'm doing that as well. And that's kind of my emphasis this year.
So clearly what you're doing is helping our military. You're helping our troops, both in the movie, which is going to help everybody get their acts together, their thoughts together, sort things out, and being available now as a speaker, challenging yep. people to stand by those standards that made America great, that made our military great, that used to anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, people want to believe in the greatness of the American ideal, and our men and women in uniform want to believe that the uniform that they wear is noble and worthy of the sacrifice of their life, potentially, and that the Constitution is worth defending against its enemies, foreign and domestic. And unfortunately, a lot of the rhetoric they've been pummeled by in the past couple of years disinclines them from those beliefs and views. But Americans want to trust their military. They want to serve it. And the service members want to love and die for their country, potentially. You got to keep that alive when you have an all-voluntary force.
Yes, sir. And that is a horrible thing. I have trouble recommending to young men and women that they go in the military right now.
Right.
You know, of basically, course. My advice right now is, unless you believe God's telling you to go in now, do something else for a couple of right. years and then go in. We're going to need yeah. good people. We're going to need good leaders.
Right. There are a lot of veterans giving that advice. And the way I always put it, which is similar to how you put it, if people feel called to serve their country, I don't want to discourage that, although I can understand the reticence some people have about joining the military. You want to encourage it, but help them go in with their eyes wide open so that they're prepared to stand on principle and not negotiate with the wokester mob and simply be a force for good, a light in the darkness.
Yes, sir. Matt, I know you've written at least one book, The Irresistible Revolution. How can people get a copy of that? Mm-hmm.
The cheapest way to get a copy is on Amazon. I don't control the prices there. Amazon does. I think, frankly, they've been trying to purge their shelves of tens of thousands of copies for a few months. But also, people can get a signed copy by visiting my website, MatthewLohmeyer.com, and I'll happily send them a signed copy of my book.
Matt, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for bringing us up to date on what you're doing and how to be involved. I'm so pleased that our friendship is continuing and that we can be supporting each other. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Denny.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time to balance on one foot for 3 minutes, then do the same thing on the other foot. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome Navy vet Ruth Ann Hunter. She had some interesting experiences. She happens to work at one of our sister stations that carries Frontlines of Freedom. So I guess I should say, welcome aboard. Is that right, Ruth Ann?
Yes. Thank you, Danny. I am very honored and I am grateful for the opportunity to be here today.
Ruth Ann, where did you grow up and when and why did you join the Navy?
I'm actually a Kalamazoo native, Kalamazoo, Michigan. So straight out of high school, I actually joined the delayed entry program for the Navy pretty young. I was 17 with my parents' permission. And so I was actually in the delayed entry program for quite some time. I joined the Navy particularly versus, I guess, other branches because I had this idea in my head that you wouldn't be like on the front lines. And that didn't work really well for me, to be honest. So to kind of get into my story, I joined the United States Navy straight out of high school. I left March 9th of 2016. And I went to boot camp in Great Lakes, Illinois. It was very, very cold. As much as we talk about Michigan winters, the winters in Chicago are insane, especially while you're...
Most things in Chicago are insane, but yeah, I've been to Great Lakes, and when it's cold on the lake, it's cold there.
It's a different cold. It's a very different cold, and you're right there. Before going into the military or leaving, I had a friend who would like try to convince of all the things to not select when you're selecting your kind of designation. So the job you're going to be doing, and we call it our rate, is Master at Arms. It's military police. He told me all you're going to be doing is standing 14 hours a day and, you know, whatever. In my head, I had it like I was going to be standing guard at the Buckingham Palace. Like that was, it would just didn't make sense. But in my head, that's what I thought it was going to be like. And when I got to MEPS, which is the Entry Processing Center, I had two options, which were Master at Arms or Holtec. And a Holtec is a plumber, so I definitely ended up as a Master at Arms. It was the one thing I didn't want to do. And then when I went to A school after boot camp, I did pretty well going into this. I actually was underweight.
That's sort of uncommon in the military, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is. And I struggled to gain 2 pounds to meet my standard. And I'm tall, so my BMI was very kind of skewed. So when I was in A school, throughout I struggled physically, but my test scores were really well and everything else. So I really had to push myself really hard to kind of meet the standards that were expected of me.
But you weren't surprised that you had to push yourself, were you? I mean,
no, not at all. I knew what was coming for me, and I was luckily really supported throughout the whole process by not only family but shipmates in boot camp and A school who knew, you know, I did want to do the work. I just had to do it, and they were there to support me.
I know you earned several promotions and other honors. So
yes,
let's go on with the story. We've got a few more minutes.
Awesome. Yeah. So I actually selected orders for Yorktown, Virginia. It's a naval weapons station. So we actually facilitated, manufactured, armed ships in the fleet with missiles, Tomahawks, Red Eyes, and things like that. So my job was to kind of keep the base secure. And I started out as a E1 with a huge chip on my shoulder. I was kind of the unruly seaman recruit that no one wanted to deal with. It's funny looking back now, you know, how over the years, you know, you kind of calm down and kind of humble yourself into leadership positions.
Maturing might be a better word.
Yes, yes, yes. That's definitely a better word, for sure. So throughout the years at Naval Weapons Station Yorktown, and to kind of like preface everything, I really had no desire to be in kind of like a law enforcement capacity, like bringing back to stating like I did not want to be on the front lines. Was the irony of all of this is that I was literally the first person that someone would make contact with when approaching the base. So I kind of faced a lot of fears and got over a lot of personal and mental hurdles while doing this job, just by learning and pushing myself to kind of be the best I could be, because not only was my life at stake, but there were thousands of lives at stake if I was not on my game. And that was something that I had to remind myself consistently. Like, the moment someone's waiting to take advantage of the moment that we slip, or the moment that we fall asleep or on our phone or don't pay attention or something, you know, they're waiting for that advantage.
Well, apparently you learned it, because you did really well. We've only got a couple more minutes left. So talk to us about how things ended up.
Yeah. So I left Naval Weapons Station Yorktown as an E5. It was my first command. And that was something that, as I came into the Navy, was kind of unheard of. Like, you don't leave your first command as an E5. And that's something that I really strived to do. And although I only served my 4, that was one major goal that I accomplished for myself, as well as being nominated for Junior Sailor of the Quarter. And I was in the running for Junior Sailor of the Year. Although my best friend actually in the Navy, she was nominated for that. So shout out to her. But I actually met my husband while stationed in Yorktown. We were both in the military. He stayed in the military longer than I did after I decided to discharge. And on his active orders, we traveled over to Japan. He was over there for 3. I was over there for 2. I finished out my contract and joined him over there. And we were there from 2020 to just about the end of 2022. So we actually did most of our tour in Japan during COVID, which was kind of rough to say, but it was honestly probably one of the most beautiful countries to spend quarantine in. So when he decided he was done with the military, we decided to move back to my hometown here in Kalamazoo. And this is kind of where we just decided to settle and plant some roots. He's from Indiana, so it's not far from my family's here, and his family's only a couple hour drive away. So it works for the both of us.
That sounds cool. And obviously, when you settled in there, you also got a job in media, right?
Yeah. So right now, in my current capacity, I work for a local media firm called Midwest Communications. We actually own 6 local radio stations, including WKZO, which you're hearing this now. So I'm a marketing consultant. We advertise on the local radio station, as well as digital and commercial TV advertising. So I predominantly work with local business owners and executives to garner, you know, really trusting relationships in order to steerhead their marketing plans and campaigns to generate revenue and leads and hopefully grow their business.
That really makes sense. We're about out of time. How could listeners who wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
They can email me at ruthann.hunter@mwcradio.com. Or they can find me on Facebook at Ruth Hunter.
Thank you, Ruth Ann, for keeping our sister station going. And thank you for your service to our nation. I was delighted we could take this time to talk.
Thank you so much, Denny. And thank you for your service and your support to not only the community of veterans, but the radio community as well.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will present the movie of the month. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break. We stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. And now it's time for the Movie of the Month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Danny. Of course, it's always an honor and privilege to be with you and your audience. And I just found this month's film fascinating. I hope your listeners enjoyed it as well.
I found it fascinating and educational. I mean, it was something that I knew a lot about, or I thought I knew a lot about, and I found out that I didn't know as much as, you know, that's humbling. Anyway, there was so much about the films that you send us, but this one, wow, the Codebreakers Who Saved America, and they did too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And of course, I had always heard about the Enigma machine in England.
Yes.
But I didn't know that we had that going on in the United States. That's never been really common knowledge, I wouldn't say.
No. And I knew we had done some code breaking and some stuff like that, particularly against the Japanese. But I didn't have a clue as to how far it went and how much it did.
And how early.
Yes.
How early they started that. And of course, I have to give a shout out to, there was a lady on the team. It was, you know, the two-man team, one of them was a girl, which was exciting for me to see.
Well, you know, while I absolutely do not think that men and women are exactly the same, I know that's clearly not correct.
Happily.
Forgive me if that offends somebody.
Happily glad about that.
But we really do make good teammates in all kinds of ways, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Like you and I right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. I can see all the things that would have attracted you to this and picking it for our show. I mean, it was awesome. Here's a few listener comments that I enjoyed some of these. The guy who gets credit for getting our nation started in this, his family just moved here from Russia. That was amazing.
Think about that. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't remember to say whether he was born in Russia or born just after they moved here, but obviously he was raised to be an American. But okay. So.
Well, again, they were embracing, they were running away. I mean, obviously, I believe they were Jewish. So I'm assuming that, you know, America still in this world today is the land of opportunity. I mean.
Yes. We don't have walls up to keep people in, do we?
No.
Okay. Next one. We apparently did an okay job during World War I, but then we stopped because, to quote, gentlemen don't read other gentlemen's mail.
Yeah. Could you believe that?
I think naive is a good word there.
Well,
but
he was just a skinflint. He was just saving money, you know?
Well, and he did, I guess. And I'm glad we recovered.
The Depression was on. To his credit, the Depression was on. And I'm sure, like every household in America, running the government was just as dicey, you know?
You know, I wouldn't mind it if some people in our government right now would start cutting out things because.
Yeah, well, we could do an hour on that.
A day or 2 days. Anyway, the next comment was, Japan started invading and occupying other nations near them in 1931.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Well, I knew it was early 30s, so we knew there'd be trouble at some point and started getting ready. We started getting ready in 1931. that escaped me. I knew that we were watching Japan, but I didn't realize how much the smart people in our government were looking into this.
Yeah, but they didn't put any money behind, you know, being in the forefront of knowing what the other guys were doing, because, you know, they cut the budget on this.
Yeah. And then while Japan spent time developing some very good codes, we did ultimately break them all. So we had some good folks, regardless of how much funding they got, that ultimately, one way or another, trial and error, broke all the codes.
And of course, we all know the story of the Native Americans.
Yes.
That were so important in all of this. I mean, that was, whoever thought of that was brilliant, because that was a code nobody else had.
And or any idea how to break.
Yeah.
Codes mean a lot, all kinds of different ways. The next one, we knew or we were pretty sure they were going to attack Pearl Harbor, and we didn't tell the people at Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, that was...
I think one of the comments was that they did notify them, but they sent it by regular mail kind of thing. Wow.
I think everybody never thought they'd actually do it, too. I think there was a little bit of, oh, they would never really do that. You know what I mean? Because as they said, they woke up a sleeping giant. I mean, nobody thought they'd do that, you know?
Yes. It's partly naivety, and it's partly, as you just said, nobody'd ever do that.
Yeah.
And then right after Pearl Harbor, we had a breakthrough in getting their code. And I enjoyed this one. One of our naval officers started sharing our techniques with a media guy who published it.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. I guess we have dumb people at every age in our history.
Well, my question for you, Lieutenant Colonel, is we've come a long way, right? Have we?
I think so.
Or no?
I think so.
Oh, thank goodness.
On the other hand, that Air National Guardsman who was posting our secret stuff on...
Yeah, how did he get access? That was the thing. He was 22 years old.
Well, the question is, he was caught before and they didn't take his security clearance away.
Yeah, I mean, what's that about?
Okay. I think we do not have all the smart people in the world. I think we have our share of the not-so-smarts. We knew that Admiral Yamamoto was going to fly to visit some of his forces, and we ambushed him. I knew we had done that we'd broken a code and figured out where he was, but I didn't know so much of the story, and that we were nervous about doing that for fear that that would give away the fact that we'd broken their codes.
But, well, there was that.
But, you know, you do what you do, what you do.
Right. But they did say that probably saved so many American lives.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's no way of telling how many.
There was no way you couldn't, you know.
Right. And we weren't sure of the code for a couple of places, so that we just posted that one of them was shore on water, and the Japanese posted that, and then we knew what the code was for that location.
Right.
Some people were pretty smart. Some people were doing their thing.
Yep.
The thing that I learned the most out of this was that the Japanese general, who was a liaison to Nazi Germany, reported their plans to his boss using the Japanese code. We intercepted them, and we learned so much that way. That was totally news to me. I had no clue.
You know, the funny thing about all of this information is, had just one aspect of it been different or not broke, the code wasn't broken, the whole shooting match might have ended differently. You know, it's amazing that, you know, it's such a horrible, deceitful, despicable war went the right way. What a great, you know, the universe really helped us out on that one, you know?
And the final thing that I loved was that later our code guy tried to see if there was a coded message in Shakespeare's work, and there wasn't.
Yeah, that was good too. That was interesting.
Yes, indeed. So those are the comments. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. And I know that the film festival won't be till March of next year, but you're taking input for that right now, aren't you, Diane?
We are. The call for entries is now open. So if you know a filmmaker, please pass that information along. The call for entries stay open till November 1st, but of course the fee to enter right now is as low as it's going to be. So now would be the time to tell your friends and family.
And it's really worth it, but we're going to have to show up in person this time. It's not going to.
I think that would be a grand idea.
Yes, I totally, totally agree with you. Okay, Diane, thank you. Thank you so much for this great film. I mean, it's awesome, educational. I couldn't imagine anything be better. And thank you for being a wonderful member of the Frontline of Freedom team. I'm so glad that we're friends and working together.
Thank you, Denny. And a happy Memorial Day to all of the veterans out there. It means so much that you keep us safe and free.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
From ending our nation's endless wars to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, Jose is a Navy vet. He really learned a lot from the guest who discussed the racist junk being forced on our military people. And then he saw your recent newsletter with a letter from all the flag officers. We do have to fight the critical race theory and other junk.
Agree totally, Jose. We need to fight it in our military and in our schools.
And Sally, a Navy mom, really enjoyed the interview with the Medal of Honor guy. She learned a lot and really appreciates him.
Sally, you're right on. Jim McLuhan is a great American and a wonderful role model. Now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
On 29 May 1780, during the Revolutionary War, the treatment of Patriot prisoners by British Colonel Tarleton and his Loyalist troops led to the coining of a phrase to define British brutality for the rest of the war for independence, Tarleton's Quarter. After the surrender of Charleston on May 12, Colonel Abraham Buford's 3rd Virginia was virtually the only organized Patriot unit remaining in South Carolina. Tarleton's mission was to destroy any colonial resistance in the state. At Wextana, Tarleton's cavalry charge broke the 350 remaining Patriots under Buford. Tarleton and his Tories then shot at the Patriots after their surrender, and this spawned the term Tarleton's Quarter, which to the Patriots meant a brutal death at the hands of a cowardly foe. The Continentals lost 113 killed and 203 captured there. British losses totaled 19. Although they were routed, the loss became a propaganda victory for the Continentals. Wavering Carolina civilians, terrified of Tarleton and their loyalist neighbors, now rallied to the Patriot cause. Under Thomas Sumter, the Patriot militia quickly returned the terror in kind with their own brutal raids on Carolina loyalists. Carolinians went on to fight a bloody civil war in which they killed their own with far greater efficacy than any outsider sent to assist them.
That must have been horrible during a horrible time. Horrible. And on 2 June 1865, in what is generally regarded as the end of the Civil War, Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith, commander of Confederate forces west of the Mississippi, signed the surrender offered by Union negotiators. Thus, the last Confederate Army ceased to exist, bringing a formal end to the bloodiest 4 years in U.S. history. Our Civil War, which began on April 12, 1861, when Confederate shore batteries opened fire on the Union-held Fort Sumter in South Carolina's Charleston Bay. During 34 hours, 50 Confederate guns and mortars launched over 4,000 rounds at the poorly supplied fort, and on April 13th, U.S. Major Robert Anderson, commander of the garrison, surrendered. 2 days later, President Lincoln called for 75,000 volunteer soldiers to help quell the Southern insurrection. 4 years later, the Confederacy was defeated at a cost of 620,000 Union and Confederate dead.
And on 31 May 1941, during World War II, the last of the Allies were evacuated after 11 days of battling a successful German parachute invasion of the island of Crete. Crete was now Axis-occupied territory. On the morning of May 20, some 3,000 Germans landed on Crete, which was protected by over 28,000 Allied troops and an almost equal number of Greek soldiers. Those initial 3,000 parachutists were reinforced to the tune of an additional 19,000 men, arriving by parachute drop, glider, and troop carrier. The Allies remained optimistic. Many of the German soldiers who parachuted died or were injured on impact. They were undersupplied and inexperienced. But by May 26, British General Freyberg, commander of Crete, reported that their position was hopeless. Evacuation of Allied troops began on the 28th. By the night of the 31st, the last of the Allies that would make it out had left the seaport of Spakia. 5,000 men would be left behind in the hands of the Germans. The total loss of Allied soldiers and sailors was about 4,000. Three cruisers and six destroyers had been sunk. The German loss was about 4,000 men. Strangely, Hitler, despite the victory, considered his losses too great to pursue further gains in the Mediterranean.
That really was a surprise to everybody. And on 30 May 1942, during World War II, a 1,000-plane raid on the German city of Cologne was launched by Great Britain. Almost 1,500 tons of bombs rained down in 90 minutes, delivering a devastating blow to the Germans' medieval city as well as its morale. Air Marshal Harris, commander-in-chief of the Bomber Command, planned Operation Millennium. His goal was to prevent significant loss of Royal Air Force bombers by concentrating air attacks in massive bomber raids, overwhelming the enemy by numbers and delivering decisive crippling blows. Harris beefed up the 416 first-line aircraft. He added second-line and training squadron bombers, thus creating an aircraft force of 1,046. On the night of May 30th, Cologne was besieged. 600 acres of the city sustained heavy damage, 45,000 Germans were left homeless, and 469 were killed. The chemical and machine tool industries were rendered useless. Across to the British, 40 bombers. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who approved the raid, telegraphed President Franklin Roosevelt the next day, quote, "I hope you were pleased with our mass air attack. There's plenty more to come," end quote.
And on 1 June 1990, at a superpower summit meeting in Washington, D.C., President George H.W. Bush and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev signed an historic agreement to end production of chemical weapons and begin the destruction of both nations' sizable reserves of them. According to the agreement, on-site inspectors from both countries would observe the destruction process. The treaty, which called for an 80% reduction of their chemical weapon arsenals, was part of an effort to create a climate of change that would discourage smaller nations from stockpiling and using them. First developed during World War I, most countries had the technology to build chemical weapons by 1990, and some, such as Iraq, had engaged in chemical warfare. The U.S. and Russia began destroying their chemical weapons arsenals in the early 1990s. In 1993, the U.S., Russia, and 150 other nations signed a comprehensive treaty banning chemical weapons. The Senate ratified the treaty in 1997.
And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines to Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing. And now more than ever before, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. Find out about the laws in your state and what you can do to legally carry a firearm. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, this is weird. The lady of the house was home alone when a naked man broke into her home in Bel Air, California. She confronted the naked man and asked him to leave. He claimed the house was his and he was going to call the police. While the homeowner called 911, the naked intruder swam in her pool and then killed both her pet parakeets by stomping on them. The woman, fearing for her life, jumped off the balcony and limped to her car where she was able to escape her home. The police were able to apprehend the naked intruder.
Thanks, Colonel. Well, now, you're right. This is an interesting story. I'd like to say only in California, but I can't. Simply because the entire country is now facing a mental health crisis coupled with an epidemic of drug addiction. This man was obviously either mentally ill or on drugs, or maybe even both. Think about it for a second. How do you convince a naked crazy man that your house is not his house? It can't be done because mental illness and drug use are wild cards. The mentally ill and drug addicted aren't in their right minds, so you won't be able to reason with them. Folks, all indications are that the problem of crime is going to continue to get worse, so you and I have to learn how to better protect ourselves and our families. Don't wait for politicians to solve the problem of crime in our big cities, because they are largely incompetent. Perhaps, dare I say it out loud, they are also not in their right minds? That being said, it's time to get serious about self-defense. Here's a list of things you can do to survive rising crime in our big cities. First, get firearms training and start to carry your pistol every place you legally can. Let's face it, the cops can't be everywhere, especially when they're being systematically defunded. Second, harden your home against invaders. I recommend you read a book by Matt Canovey called Real Secrets of Home and Personal Defense. You can get it on Amazon. He gives you a step-by-step process you can follow. Third, develop a solid warrior mindset. Here in America, we've been pampered, but now it seems the law of the jungle is reasserting its hold. You need to come to grips with the fact that you may have to use violence up to and including deadly force to protect yourself. I know it's not fair, but get over it. Take a tablespoon of cement and harden up. Fourth, always be alert. Our men in combat zones learn this quickly. If you want to stay alive, you have to stay alert. I'm not talking paranoia. I'm just saying get your face out of your cell phone and pay attention to what's going on around you. And fifth, get out of the city. If you don't have to live there, move. If you don't have to visit, don't. That's where most of this stuff happens. There's a lot more to self-defense, but these things will get you started. The woman in today's story was right to flee the mentally ill intruder simply because she had no self-defense skills to speak of. That made her a prey animal and helpless to any predator. This is not a good time to be an oblivious sheep. Hopefully, this woman will wake up and smell her need to become more self-sufficient. Frontlines of Freedom wishes this California woman well on her journey.
Wow. Our movie of the month is The World War II Codebreakers Who Saved America. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link, and you can still watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom will be our 16th anniversary show. Ambassador John Bolton, who was our first big-name guest back then, will join us to discuss issues from then and now. Then Phil Tower and my co-founder, Josh Breimeyer, and I will discuss the founding of Frontlines of Freedom, and co-host Skip Coriel will interview me. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall. Be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.